for being attentive. I like to ask for a song, Lyle, when I'm done. And so I also am reminded of what I've heard of a quote from dear brother Lowell, who sits in the back here. He has been quoted to have said that some speakers have the uncanny ability to cram 20 minutes of material into an hour. And I will certainly not try to do that, and we may get done early, but if we go till 9, I hope you don't take me to the cross, at least not physically. In the second session, we will continue to look at experiencing Christ as our life. We will look at some practical suggestions for Bible study and devotional time. I hope that you can share from your experience what has been meaningful to you. That will be part of it. And I will give a few things that as well. But be thinking about that as we progress, and I'm sure some of you have things that have blessed you, methods of Bible study or whatever it is that's helped you overcome what we've talked about, the problem of struggling to have a regular time of communion with God. So what are some pointers for those who are willing to draw near to God? Firstly, we want to recognize that God tells us in James 4:8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. We have a promise there that is awesome. If we do our part, He will draw near to us. And I know that even if we have struggled with having regular communion with God, surely we have all experienced God drawing near to us when we do draw near to Him. It's a precious promise that we have. God will draw near to us if we draw near to Him. David testifies of his commitment and desire to know God. In Psalm 55:17, he says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. And also Psalm 63:1. O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Speaks of a desire and a passion for knowing God. So now I'll give you four suggestions, practical pointers that John Koblenz gave for the devoted. For those who are devoted to God and wish to commune with Him regularly. Number one, very simple, but helps. Set a regular time. Sounds easy, right? Well, think about your life and see if it's easy. Set a regular time. If we try to fit time with the Lord into our schedules, we usually will find it crowded out instead. So set a regular time. Number two, balance schedule with flexibility. It is good to set goals for reading, study or memorization, but vary the activity from time to time. An example of why you would want to vary it is you've got life happening to you day by day, and there will be times when a really scheduled thing won't fit, won't minister to you as it would if you could do a study maybe on an attribute of God. So find the balance there that works for you. Suggestion here that I have not actually tried but maybe should take note is use a notebook. Record your insights, your spiritual goals, your struggles, God's solutions, and your prayers. Writing down these things can be helpful in understanding and retaining them. It also can be beneficial later, because, perish the thought, sometimes our problems reoccur. And number four, very helpful, share your faith. Spiritual exercise stimulates spiritual appetite. Have you experienced that? I know I have. The more we share the life of God with others, the richer it becomes. The richer our time with God becomes, the richer will be our interactions with others. Have you ever experienced sharing your faith, speaking to someone, they ask you a question about God, and the scripture comes to your mind that, you know, it was there, but you didn't think of it. Holy Spirit at work. So, I've experienced that, and it's true. Spiritual exercise builds a desire to know God and know Him and commune with Him. So what has been your experience? What tips would you give to me to improve my devotional time? What has worked for you? What's been a blessing to you? Okay. That may lead me to another one that would be possible. Consider getting up to do it instead of doing it right before you go to sleep. But what do you have? What else do you have to say, Paul?
Personally, early morning has worked the best for me. I realize that's not that I'm concrete, but for me,
right,
before I face the day.
Mm-hmm. Laverne, and then Daryl.
Perhaps having a pencil in hand to underline key words or phrases or something to stand out.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Daryl, go ahead.
I found it helps me, especially when I'm praying, to do it by walk and to pray out loud.
Mm-hmm. So pray while... Consider praying while walking and pray out loud. You ever caught yourself praying and all of a sudden you're thinking, am I praying or am I thinking about something else? I think praying out loud would help that. Relationship with God through regular time spent with Him paves the way for His thoughts, plans, values, goals, and ultimately life to become our thoughts, plans, values, goals, and life. You can also use projects during your devotional time that can make it spiritually enriching. Obviously, depending on your need, you may choose different ones. Several ideas would be to study a character trait of God. Learning to know God is at the heart of all Bible study, should be, and is the primary fountain of inspiration. Learning to know God. Who is God? Choose a particular attribute and use a concordance. Look up scriptural references to that attribute. Copy them down, study the context, record what you find. Psalm 36, for an example, has a list of such attributes. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep, O Lord. You preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, your children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Here we have reference to God's mercy, faithfulness, righteousness, justice, and love. So you could make a study of all of these, each of these attributes. What is God's mercy? How does He show it? How does God's mercy affect me? Second idea for a study could be to categorize the Proverbs. John suggests that in his book. Obviously, Proverbs is a book of wise collections mixed together. And he suggests that you could separate them by subject and learn that way. Separate them, say, by subject for speech. Maybe there's some on our heart, our business dealings, family relationships, child training, the fear of the Lord, work ethics, friendship. Go through them chapter by chapter and place them in categories. Gives us a wisdom index, I guess you could say. It provides a resource for you afterwards. So that'd be another idea. Third one, very simply, is try a character study. We all know many that we could study, and we could learn a lot from them, even if we know a lot of them already. What were the conditions under which the person lived? What responsibilities did this person have? How did he or she fulfill them? What was their relationship with God? What tests did this person face? How was this person changed through these experiences? In what ways is this person a good example for me? In what ways would I not follow this person's example? A fourth one, following, is studying a character trait of God, categorizing the Proverbs, doing a character study. Fourth idea would be to study a book. Choose a book. A smaller one at first, and study it like you would in your Sunday school, is the best way I know how to say it. What are the promises? What are the timeless principles? If there are figures of speech, what do they mean? And what are the lessons for me? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we will find that as we study, that will be true for us. Are there things besides these four that you have tried that you have found drew you closer to God? Hopefully we don't do all our studying Sunday morning in church. Sunday school. Very good, thank you. You remind me of what's been, I know, been mentioned here before, like a 3 or 4 month reading of the Bible. What was interesting to me in that was, and actually I started it and never finished, so that's my bad there, but What was interesting was reading that much of the scripture, and it was chronological as well, gave me a whole different picture because I could see so many years at a chunk. And that was an eye-opener for me because, you know, we go to Sunday school and we hear one little story here and one little story here, and we study Abraham and different characters, but to put it in a row was eye-opening for me. Are there other things that have blessed you for methods? Yes, Grandpa.
When our family was young, it seemed like the Bible story book was the best, was a good one for our worship time.
Mm-hmm. Bible stories for the youngsters.
And some choruses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Laverne.
Perhaps you knew a variety of translations. It can be helpful to read one translation one time and a different translation another time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Paul, did you have your hand up?
Speaking on behalf of my wife, I've been challenged because she enjoys certain books that treat certain subjects with a lot of Bible references in them. Those are all those references.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. If there are no others, moving on then. John also asked the question, how does church fellowship contribute to a victorious life? Ephesians 4:11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. This passage shows clearly that the body of Christ can help us grow from being easily tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And it is in the context of different members being equipped differently. The church blesses members in countless ways. Here are some examples. It provides spiritual instruction to believers. It warns against spiritual dangers. Offers a collective wisdom impossible for one member, you or I, one member, to have by him or herself. The church gives believers a clearer sense of identity than they have on their own. The church offers support and resources for difficulties in life, including loss, sorrow, sickness, temptation, rejection, disability, and loneliness. The church really does become a family of believers. The church provides many avenues of ministry, providing opportunities to use one's gifts and resources meaningfully. The church exercises loving discipline for waywardness and spiritual drift. The church provides many opportunities for lasting and meaningful friendship. The church exposes believers to experiences of divine presence and power as God makes himself known. In the church, believers meet the loving, living Jesus. Now, no congregation provides these blessings perfectly. We're well aware of that. But God's intention is that as a church, we help each other stay away from false ideas and encourage each other in the ways of truth. encourage each other in experiencing Christ as our life, encouraging each other in regular communion with God, encouraging each other in denial of self, dying to self. By ourselves, it is easy to become unbalanced in areas of truth simply by emphasizing one at the exclusion of another. If we, in the analogy of church, as a body, are a hand, we don't want to isolate from the feet, the head, and any other part. Those who want to live victoriously will want to live in union with fellow Christians. The committee also asked the question, and you may be able to help dialogue on this one. How does the Holy Spirit help us experience Christ? I looked for scriptures that explain what the Holy Spirit does and found some that I think help us. And then I'd be interested in how you would see the Holy Spirit helping us experience Christ. Acts 1, verses 1 and 2. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So Jesus spoke to the apostles by the Holy Spirit. That leads me to think that he will communicate with us by the Holy Spirit as well. So obviously, if the Holy Spirit is communicating to us from Jesus, from God, that will help us experience him. John 14:26 reads, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Spirit will help us remember whatever Jesus said in Scripture, and will teach us all things. So there again, the Holy Spirit, obviously as one of the Godhead, is drawing us to God. Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, this one got me a little excited, because I looked at the Greek for shed abroad. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And found that a literal translation would be that the love of God is poured greedily out into our hearts. Isn't that amazing? By the Holy Spirit. Or another way to say it would be, is spilled into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit really does work to draw us to experience with Christ in our daily lives. When God pours his love into us in that kind of a liberal way, what can we do but feel compelled to return love and live for him completely? The love of God is poured greedily out into our hearts. Do we experience that? Let's pray that we can and do. Acts 1:8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So the Holy Ghost gives us power. Power to witness for God. Power to share the good news with others. Here and across the earth. That abundant power from God through his Spirit definitely helps us live victoriously in Christ. Are there thoughts that any of you would have on how the Holy Spirit helps you, or from Scripture you see that He helps us live victoriously or helps us to experience Christ. Joel. Thank you. Yes, Dwight.
That question of words sounds like what we talked about, that the natural man doesn't understand things of God, but it's through the Spirit that we have an understanding of Scripture, which helps us to know how to walk through Christ.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Change it there. Thank you. Yes, David. Okay. Thank you. Laverne. Okay. Certainly the Word of God is a treasure that we want to protect. And I think about if the day would come that we did not have it, how different that would be. And especially think about what we've spoken of tonight and how that would be something we would feel very keenly. Well, thank you for your... Okay, one more here. Yes, but that's right. Thank you. So we feel that draw. We want to respond, don't we? And we want to thank God for that drawing. Thank you for your, Paul, you're coming here yet. I not through our own might, but by trusting in Him. As we conclude this study on experiencing Christ as our life, the challenge is for each of us. If you haven't already, start tonight on the path to victory by denying self and take up your cross and follow Jesus. If you are on the journey but have struggled with being victorious in your daily life, recommit to a daily death to self and pursuit of God through His Word and prayer. Do we know what it means to abide in Jesus? Jesus will give us abundant life if we will die to self and take up our cross. It is a divine law. You can count on it like you can count on the sun to rise each day. The journey is sometimes surprising, sometimes painful, but always rewarding. Let's pray. God, we come before You and we are in awe of who You are and how You have provided Jesus. How You provided Jesus to die for our sins on the cross and what that means for all of us here today. The gift of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit boggles our minds, and we only understand part, but we thank You. Father, it is our prayer that we could commune with You and know You in new and richer, deeper ways as we go from this place. Help us to learn what it means to live with Christ as our life. Help us to allow that to be all our passion. So we look to You to direct us and lead us from here. Thank You for Your hand over us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. La, would you have a song for us, and then we will close.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice.
dismissed.